Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Our website, as always, you can depend on the materials you find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants by dialing 888-7000 and the letter CRI. June is the end of our fiscal year. This is always a make-it-or-break-it month for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And in years gone by, people have responded gloriously in the month of June. And we have been able to end our fiscal year in a good state. And we pray that people respond again. The need is great. And so we would ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. If you've given once, well, please consider giving again. If you've never given, it would be my privilege to invite you to join us as we stand shoulder to shoulder together in the battle for life and truth. Never has it been more important for Christians to stand together against not only the insistent forces of secularism, but against the invading forces of Islam and other world religions that seek to undermine the very foundation of Western civilization. And so again, it's my privilege to ask you to join us. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us. And if you can, consider becoming a member of the support team. When you do, I'd be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. And go to the web at equip.org. You will see that we have selected some incredible resources, and we make those available to not only equip you, but also to encourage you to give to this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. This ministry is having an impact all over the world. So many people told stories about how this ministry has been transformational in their lives. And those that support the ministry have a part to play in that. Nathan wrote me and said, I teach sixth grade Sunday school and help facilitate a men's Bible study, but without the resources of the Christian Research Institute, my preparation, my content, my message to both of these diverse groups would be sorely missing. Many thanks to the CRI team. A note from Joe, who says, I've had the privilege of being part of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute for a few years now. I'm very passionate of my sacrificial giving to the ministry, as it has helped me tremendously in my walk with the Lord. Over the years of listening to Hank and reading the materials put forth by the Christian Research Institute, I have grown substantially in my ability to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and have learned many discernment skills. I purchased the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition early this year, and when my wife and I received it, we were overjoyed. It is truly a masterpiece and a tool that no Christian home should be without. One other letter, this from Bryce. I am thankful for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute because we live in a day, in an age where increasing attacks on the credibility of the Bible and the Christian faith by well-educated people is commonplace. Well, what Bryce is saying is so true. I'm thinking about an article in the Christian Research Journal. It's an article about Morgan Freeman, He is probably the most famous Hollywood actor to play God, well, since George Burns, God rest his soul. And he's involved in a TV documentary. The underlying worldview of this documentary is philosophical naturalism and scientism. In other words, there's nothing supernatural, and science is the only form of genuine knowledge. Well, in this documentary, Freeman goes so far as to say that human beings invented God due to various psychological and neurological mechanisms. In other words, according to Morgan Freeman, God exists only in our minds, and religion is a form of self-deception that arose as an evolutionary survival mechanism. These kinds of things are being displayed, being promoted. And how are we to respond? How are we to respond when someone like Morgan Freeman in this documentary says that Jews and Christians and Muslims all worship the same God, that all religions lead to God, however you might conceive of him? When in truth, we need to be able to say that if you examine Islam, you immediately recognize that Allah is hardly the God of Christianity. Islam is Unitarian, Christianity Trinitarian. Logically, both can be wrong, but they can't both be right. Jesus taught that there is only one way to God. He said it emphatically, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not through Islam, not through Judaism, not through Buddhism, not through any other religion. The opinions of all other religious leaders save Christ are equally valid in that they're equally worthless. Those leaders died. They're still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. Therefore, his opinion is infinitely more value than theirs. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to David, listening in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good, good. First, I just wanted to thank you and all your loved ones for just sharing you with us all these years and all that you do for us when we call in. I really appreciate that. My question is, in 1 Kings 19, when Elisha, he was on the run, and my question is basically, was God directing Elijah to run as he did, or was that something basically that he was doing on his own? And my second part to that question is, when God asked him, what are you doing here? So can you give me, what that's all about?
Yeah, when God asks those questions, they're for our benefit. It's not as though God does not know. He knows everything. In fact, a single hair cannot fall from our head without God knowing and caring about it. So it's not as though God does not know. Very, very similar as when God asked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where are you? It's not as though God didn't know, but it's an anthropomorphism. It's an opportunity for us to understand God in language or in ways that we can relate to. Now, the interesting story about Elijah is that Elijah has one of the great victories of all time, and now he's fleeing. And ultimately, he's under a broom tree. And you can see the difference that happens very, very quickly in the life of a person. One moment you can be on a mountaintop, and the next moment you can be in the slough of despond. And you can think that there's no one else but me. Who else can do this work? Who else? And then you realize God has many, many others that are standing in the gap with you. And so this is a great human interest story. I've experienced it many times. I can be on the mountaintop, and then all of a sudden I can think, God, where are you? And the great experience of the Christian life is that you realize that God has been there over and over and over again. He's always been faithful, Even when we have been unfaithful, God is always faithful. And if we could trust him in the past, we can certainly trust him in the future as well. So there's a great object lesson here where Elijah goes from victory to a feeling of defeat, and this becomes an object lesson for us.
Right, okay. Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate that.
You got it. We could not do what we do on the radio with the Hank Unplugged podcast. We could not make available the resources we do on the web. We could not do what we do overseas around the world if it were not for people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And so I want to express my thanks for all of you that do support the ministry. And for those of you that have never taken that step of faith, this month would be a great month to do that. Go to the web at equip.org. Give there in a safe, secure fashion. Stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
We are down to the wire. Our fiscal year ends in just days, and it is essential that we finish the year strong in order to continue offering outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your generous support will make a difference. Will you stand shoulder to shoulder with us? To join us in the battle for life and truth, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. God bless you. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a few moments. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to George next. He's listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I was visiting a church, not my own church. I'm a Christian, but I was just visiting another church in my area, and the pastor had... He was studying with photographs of the Exodus of Moses crossing the Red Sea, and he had underwater photographs from a guy by the name of Ron Wyatt, who was I think it was Archaeological Research Discovery website or something like that, and he had pictures of an underwater land bridge at about 100 feet deep below the Red Sea. And then it dropped off on each side really deep. And this guy, Ron Wyatt, went down in 1988, I believe it was, in a scuba outfit. And he was taking pictures of chariot wheels, of Egyptian chariot wheels that were four-spoke and six-spoke. And there was a lot of them. I mean, there was one set of wheels that were still attached to the axle, a whole set of wheels on its upright on its side with barnacles all over it. And they were, one was right in the sand and it was like gleaming. It was full of barnacles. It was a four spoke just laying down, but you could see it was like it had a bronze or a gold color to it.
Hey, George, I can't take it anymore. Shame on this pastor. I can hardly take it. I mean, Ron Wyatt was a fraud. I mean, he claimed to make all kinds of startling archaeological discoveries. You know, he discovered everything from Noah's Ark to the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to the Egyptian chariot wheels that you described. And one of his most amazing claims was that he obtained a sample of Christ's blood from the top of the Ark of the Covenant. But the truth is, Ron Wyatt, and he passed away back around the year 2000, he is neither an archaeologist nor has he ever carried out an excavation in Israel or Jerusalem and the places he claimed to go. He's simply been deceiving people with his stories. And though, as I said, he passed away around the year 2000, I think it was 1999, he still wreaks havoc in the church. Because what happens is, if you hear these sensationalistic stories, and then you find out that they're not true, then what happens to those who came to faith as a result of the sensationalistic stories? Well, they think vicariously the Christian faith is a hoax as well, when nothing could be further from the truth. Obviously, the Christian faith is rooted in history and in evidence, but we don't have to make up stories in order to try to validate what is already valid. And this is precisely what Ron Wyatt did. He made a cottage industry out of it. And unfortunately, there are pastors that are proliferating this stuff, just like pastors proliferated the myth of Y2K and were selling freeze-dried food and all the cottage industries that surrounded that.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm glad I'm not a member of that church. And I don't plan on going back there either again. So there you go. I was wondering if it was true or not. I mean, it looked real, and I was thinking, well, maybe I could show some friends of mine who are agnostics, you know, if they wanted proof or something. But, boy, I'm glad you straight man on that, because you never know. So it's by faith.
Well, I mean, the Christian faith is rooted in history and evidence. But what I'm saying is that you don't want to dredge up, you know, these urban legends and use them as a way of validating the faith when we have a firm foundation already.
Yeah, we do. We really do have a firm foundation. I do agree with that. Hank, it's great listening to you. I listen to you a lot, so, and you're right on. So thanks, brother, for straight man on that. So
you got it, George. I appreciate your call.
I really do. Thanks.
I'm grateful for your call. Let's go to Karen in Missouri. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been thinking about something. You know, when Jesus met the possessed man, his name was Legion. There was many.
Yes.
And then they cried out to him and begged him not to send them back down into the abyss, but to send them into the herd of pigs. And then the pigs ran over the cliff. What happened to the demons then?
Well, you know, when you think about demons, a demon is said to be where a demon acts. So what's going on here is anthropomorphic language. I mean, a demon is very, very real, but a demon is a non-physical being, and non-physical beings do not have extension in space. So now the demons, instead of tormenting a human being, are tormenting pigs. Now, the idea here is that the destruction of a herd of pigs shows that men had been protected by the care of God Almighty. Otherwise, they would have perished under demonic influence. And it also underscores the fact that swine herding was not lawful for the Jews. Now, it wasn't lawful for a very particular reason. And the reason was simply this. God gave civil and ceremonial laws so that people would have a way of understanding the distinction between that which was clean and that which was unclean, that which related to the things of God and that which does not. So it was a very, very clear lesson to the Jews in a very perceptible way. And so Jesus is using this to show the incomparable value of humanity, whose salvation is worth every sacrifice, and showing that the civil and ceremonial laws ultimately are fulfilled in him. So there's an object lesson in all of this, but we ought not to take this in a wooden literalistic fashion, as though demons are corporeal or physical beings. They're not physical beings. So now, instead of acting within human beings, they're acting within that which is unclean. Ava, listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question is, it's a two-part question. First, do we have a firm date for when Noah's flood occurred? And then the second part of that is because I was hearing that archaeologists were claiming to find artifacts that occurred or that they found after the flood, so attempting to disprove the flood. So how can I, can you help me find a resource or a way, how do I answer that question?
Yeah, so two questions. The first question is, no, we don't know the date of the flood. We don't have a firm date for the flood. Remember, if you look at the book of Genesis, you have genealogies. You have 10 on one side of the flood, 10 on the other side of the flood. And the idea for the genealogies is not to give us a chronology, a sequencing of time, but rather there's a symmetry to the genealogies, because there's a purpose in the genealogies, just as much a purpose for Moses as there was for Matthew in the 14:14:14 that he gives us in his gospel. So we can't establish a date based on the genealogies. That's the point. We don't have a chronology. We do have ample evidence, however, in the second part of your question, for the flood of Noah. And let me say this, with all their failings, corrupted accounts of the flood, and there are many of them, like the Epic of Gilgamesh, which was the Babylonian account of the flood, or the Epic of Atrahasis, or Eridu Genesis, they all point to something. The similarities in the flood accounts point to a common inheritance. They all derive from the same source, which is to say they all derive from an actual event. And so it stands to reason that as descendants of Noah would have drifted from God, drifted from one another, human embellishments and interpretations would be imported into the actual historical events. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't an actual event. Genesis is written as history. It corresponds to reality. And by the way, you don't have any unpredictable gods cluttering the text as you do in the corrupted flood accounts. And details that can be tested in an age of scientific enlightenment are found to be wholly plausible. And I'll give you one example. In contrast to the cube-shaped Ark of Gilgamesh in the Epic of Gilgamesh, modern engineering standards have proven that the Ark of Genesis is ideally suited for floating and stability. But here's the bottom line. Corrupted flood accounts remind us that the reality of a great flood is imprinted on the collective consciousness of virtually every major civilization from the Sumerian epic right on to the present age. And although the corrupted accounts view the waters of the flood through the opaque lens of paganism, they nevertheless lend credence to the occurrence of an actual flood. I've written about this in some detail in a book called The Creation Answer Book. And again, as I close the broadcast, thank you for your call, Ava. I want to thank everybody that's standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference for time and for eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.